Now, last Thursday morning, I was listening to Pat Kenny talking to Dermot Ferriher, the historian, and they were talking about some of the icons of the 70s, from politics and culture to food and wine. And I was saying to myself, God, food and wine now. At that stage, Ireland's wine culture was in its infancy. But of course, one particular tipple came up in discussion.
Restaurant culture. Hard to find a good restaurant, in fact. But it took a long time to change. And the wine du jour was Blue Nun.
As I listened, I thought, well, the cheek of Pat Kenny. Just last week, I was in the RT canteen, and there he was, Pat Kenny, perusing the menu. His finger lingers over a particular choice. His eyes light up, and before you know it, he's sipping from a pitcher of what we call Nun Bleu. Yes, that's right, Blue Nun. And this got me thinking about Blue Nun and where it now fits in among the wines of the world. In its heyday in the 80s, the wine was selling 2 million cases worldwide every year.
And the wine, monsieur, red, white, blue. Okay, red or white? Blue.
Darling, red or white?
Blue.
To the old question, red or white, more and more people are answering blue. Blue Nun.
Nowadays, we're told it sells about 30,000 bottles a year in Ireland. Now, fans of the Beatles will know at the closing of Long, Long, Long of the White Album, there is a rattling sound. And it just so happens that it's a happy accident that that was recorded when a bottle of Blue Nun was left on top of the Hammond organ played by Paul McCartney. Have a listen. So what do you think of when you hear the name Blue Nun? Our producer Fergus Sweeney did a quick litmus test.
I got to have it.
Oh, I can remember Christmas long ago, back in the 60s, and when I was quite young, and I was allowed to have a drop of Blue Nun for the Christmas dinner, which was a big thing for me at the time.
And what does Blue Nun conjure up in your mind?
It was the very first wine that I saw, apart from Ultra wine, because it was an Ultra boy as well, and you couldn't be drinking the Ultra wine for obvious reasons. So Blue Nun was the first wine I got, and I always associated it with Christmas.
What does it taste like?
Tasted fairly okay to me. I obviously developed a taste fairly young for wine, and I couldn't really compare it to wines that I drink now, and I do drink the odd glass still.
Do you think if you brought a bottle of Blue Nun to a D4 dinner party, you'd be laughed out of the dining room?
Well, if I was, I couldn't care, because, I mean, what's wrong with it? It could be a fantastic wine. It could be rediscovered and be at all the best tables. Who knows?
Yes, I love it.
Why?
I like to drink it.
Why?
What do you think of when you think of Blue Nun?
I think of Black Tower, Blue Nun, and there's another one, the big Italian bottle that everybody drank, and that was what you brought to a party because it was cheap at the time. And it was so sweet, it would blow your mind.
Would you drink it again?
Never. No.
It was that bad?
No, it was dreadful. It was German Planck, wasn't it, I think?
The name's not great, is it? Blue Nun. It's not exactly the type of a fancy wine that you'd expect, like a nice French wine called Blue Nun. So maybe they need to have a look at their imaging in some way.
What does it taste like?
Vinegar.
It's that bad?
It is that bad. It's just a tad above vinegar, but not a whole lot.
Say, man, don't put too much ice in that wine.
But how much of that view is down to snobbery and changing fashions? The other day I spoke to David Whelehan from Whelehan's Wines. He's an expert in this field, and I began by asking him, how big was Blue Nun in its day?
Blue Nun in its day was absolutely enormous. I mean, the whole category of Blue Nun, it fits into the category of Liebfrauenwitz, and it was really the introductory wine for really so many people all over the world. And in fact, it peaked in terms of sales back in 1984, where it was selling just over 2 million cases of wine. So it was enormous.
And there'd be 6 bottles in a case, correct?
No, 12 bottles.
12 bottles,
12
in,
bottles
a
in a case.
Wow!
Wow, so a very significant amount of wine. And, you know, if you think of it currently...
worldwide, by the way?
Worldwide.
Thank goodness for that. I thought you meant just Ireland.
No,
same year Ronald Reagan came to Ireland in 1980.
Absolutely.
Maybe
so.
There was a lot of Blue Nuns.
There might have been a lot of drunk, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure when the Pope came, there was a lot of a drunk as well. But no, it was a hugely important category of wine, and say it very much introduced a user-friendly style of wine. And interestingly now, all that kind of wine has been picked up by the New World, classically California and Australia.
There was also Pied d'Or. I remember that.
The Pied d'Or French
Adore, Pied d'Or.
Oh, absolutely. And they had all these wonderful taglines, like the golden wine of the Rhine. You know, it was these wonderful taglines that just summed up this kind of lovely, fruit-forward, easy-drinking styles of wine. And say they were just classic styles of wine that we all, grew up with.
Mm. So it's a German wine, as you say, from the Rhine. This is a Blue Nun. Do you know anything about its history? How it became so popular?
Well, it's actually quite interesting. It's a very famous family behind it, the Seychell family. And in fact, some of their cousins over in Bordeaux have some very important estates like Chateau Palmer and Chateau d'Angleterre. But the German end of the family basically set up a company called Seychell in Germany. And the first vintage of Blue Nun, believe it or believe it not, dates back to 1921, released into the market in 1923. So it was around for a very long time. And like many of these iconic brands, it just kind of picked up momentum slowly and gradually over the years, and by the 1950s it was just becoming an incredibly significant wine. And it was
so it wasn't affected by the war then, in that case?
No, not at all. It was picking up momentum because historically, if you look back through the annals of wine history, German wines back in the 17th, 18th, 19th century were incredibly important and perceived as amongst the greatest wines in the world, achieving far higher prices than the greatest wines in Bordeaux. And then they decided to introduce this newer, more user-friendly style of wine, which was the likes of Blue Nun, and it had instant fame. And as I say, one of their very classic marketing strategies back in the 50s was to basically position it as a wine that could be drunk right throughout the meal, which is really quite innovative.
So it went well with red meat or fish, or whatever you have in your chicken.
Way through, just easy style. And how the trick of the actual winemaking process was, they left what they call residual sugar in the wine, which means a certain degree of sweetness that made it just fruity and just easy and very appealing to a very wide age group. And interestingly enough, now that is the same method of wine production that's been used by the New World producers for all these very, very popular brands like, you know, Blossom Hill, Sutter Home, .. They will have a certain amount of residual sugar just because fruitiness on the palate. But going back to Blue Nun specifically, it was a blend of classic German grapes, and one of the grapes that was a component of it would be the Müller Thurgau, which is a very big sort of workhorse grape. And then they had a little bit of the Riesling to give it a little bit of backbone, a little bit of edginess to it as well. So classically, it was actually a well-made wine, well-positioned, and had huge instant market appeal.
Now, I'm a bit of a pleb, so if I go out for dinner and I have a glass of wine, I don't really like red wine. I have white wine and I like Chardonnay. So that's it. I drink that from start to finish. I never change my wines.
Well, I have to say, thank God you said that on air, because I have been championing the Chardonnay grape for so long, because so many people in Ireland have seemed to have fallen out of love with the Chardonnay grape, which I would actually argue is the greatest white grape in the world. Many commentators will say it's the Riesling grape, but you know, I firmly believe when it comes to my deathbed, the last bottle of white wine that I would want to drink would be made from the Chardonnay grape, because the expressions from Burgundy, like a Montrachet, are just absolutely exceptional. It's a wondrous grape.
So you wouldn't favour the New World wines then?
I have a huge love of all wine styles, and you know, and recognise the brilliance of good Yarra Valley Chardonnay from Australia, you know, good Chardonnay from New Zealand, good Chardonnay from Napa Valley, Sonoma, California. But I think the expressions from Burgundy, which is where the grape originated from, are just absolutely sublime.
So it's okay to drink that throughout the whole meal, you think? Or should I be changing to a red, or should I be changing to a sweet wine for dessert, or what should I be doing? Because you're saying that Blue Nun was very clever. They marketed themselves. You could have it throughout the whole meal. You didn't get another bottle. Just stick with this one.
Well, you see, I think what's interesting, you know, as we mature and get used to wine, because we're really getting used to wine in Ireland. In fact, wine is becoming a huge product in Ireland. You know, if you think of it, we're drinking now somewhere between 17 and 18 litres per capita. It's an enormous amount of wine. And in 2011, we just drunk 8.5 million cases of wine within the country.
Some people would say that's not a good thing.
Yeah, but in moderation, with lots of water, and
with respect.
And I love the rule of thumb that they use in continental Europe, where they always have a full glass of water to a glass of wine, and that's a very, very healthy balance. And as I say, it just ensures that you have a really pleasant experience. And I say, wine is a wonderful complement to good food and good company.
I have friends who think, I don't want to drink too much, so I'm going to water it down. So they take the glass of wine and they put water into it. And I think, well, what's the point in ordering wine if you want to get a taste of that particular bottle of wine, if you then water it down?
Yes, I have.
Now, if you have a glass of water after having a drink of wine, okay, But if you destroy the taste of it in the first place, and presumably that's what happens when you put water into it.
I think the poor winemaker would be pulling his hair out, and the viticulturists in the vineyard that are trying to produce these wonderful grapes to make the great wine would be horrified to hear that happening. I can understand in a warm country, and you're absolutely roasting, you put a bit of fizzy water in, you want kind of a spritzy thing. Mm. But yeah, but it's an easy fruit drink then. So that would be sacrilege, I'm afraid.
So what would you suggest in that case?
I would follow your rule of thumb there. Yeah. Drink the glass of wine and then drink lots of water subsequently.
Drink water and then you drink slower, so you still don't drink too much.
Absolutely.
So everything, as you said, in moderation.
Exactly.
But why had nobody done this? Was this purely a marketing ploy on behalf of Blue Nun? Yes, they had put the right ingredients, they had got the mixture just right, if you like, the recipe was perfect, but actually they were now going to market this. Was that a plan?
Yeah, there was a very strong marketing philosophy behind the company, and that was a great success. And interestingly, you know, the alcohol percentage, true to many, many German wines, was actually quite low now. Alcohol, so it's 9.5% alcohol, so you know, quite light, quite fruity, quite easy drinking. And say, you know, in many ways, we may see a resurgence of interest because low alcohol wines now are very much on the radar. Or people are saying, you know, I enjoy wine on a very regular basis, but I don't want high alcohol wines. And of course, classically, German wines from a cooler climate tend to be low in alcohol. So we're trending back towards a little bit lower alcohol wines. And then with Angela Merkel on the radar as well, that might put more pressure on.
Might
us
put
as well.
People off.
Well, who knows? Who knows? It might put us under pressure. Yeah. But as I say, certainly the lower alcohol, and that would be sort of classic of German
but
wines.
But it's been around a long time. You have to hand it to them. It's one incredible thing getting there, but longevity.
But I mean, just imagine, it's gone back to 1921 and it's still there and it's trying to reincarnate itself. And there's all sorts of what we call line extensions where they've got, you know, Blue Nun Merlot, and we've got Blue Nun Cabernet Sauvignon, Blue Nun Pinot Noir. And then on the whites, we've got a Blue Nun Pinot Grigio on the radar now, and we've got a Blue Nun White wine, we've got the, you know, the straightforward. So there's quite a lot.
Is that flying
the
in the face of what they set out to do originally, which was one wine for all occasions?
No, you have lots of different
wines under the one label.
I suspect, you know, but then of course when you get a new marketing team in and they say the philosophy changes and there's a change of personnel, things change, and of course everybody wants their brand to be expanding on the shelves right, left and centre.
We were listening to the Vox Pop there, and some people like it and some people don't like it, and it kind of fell out of favour, didn't it? It's not so trendy to go in and order a bottle of Blue Nun nowadays.
No, it's not.
Why is that? What's wrong with poor old Blue Nun?
You know, it's funny. It is one of those iconic brands, and it's associated being with a sweet, fruity, easy drinking style of wine. And on a blind taste scenario, often people actually opt for it. But it's because we've got, you know, sophisticated in our wine drinking, and people love to roll off their tongue. I like a good Pinot Grigio, or I like a Sauvignon Blanc, and certainly Pinot Grigio seems to be one very much de rigueur at the moment. And it's meant to give this awe of expertise, and really in the pecking order of the grapes, the Pinot Grigio would be sort of on the lower tiers.
Yeah, but Blue Nun isn't a grape.
No,
it's just
Nun,
a name.
Absolutely. But it's amazing how styles and get into the psyche, and if it gets over familiar, sometimes we shun it, particularly when it comes to the world of wine, which is a shame. And as I say, it would be interesting to actually go out and do a couple of blind tastes around town and just see genuinely when people are given it blindfolded or in a blind scenario, would they opt for it or not? I suspect they might.
I think they would too. Tell me, do you drink it yourself? Do you like it?
I have to say I have not had it, I would say, in 20 years plus.
Why?
It just hasn't come across my table.
Just hasn't come across my table.
No, and yeah, I have to say,
well, Rolls Royce Phantom hasn't come across mine, but I'd jump at it if it did tomorrow.
No, but I have to say categorically, if somebody put it forward into my hand here, I'd only be too pleased to swirl it in the glass and taste it and see what it's like. I'm sure I'm going to find it would be terribly well made. In fact, I'm going to actually make it my mission within the next 7 days to actually go out, acquire a bottle of it and sample it and just see exactly how good it is.
David, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure.
And that's exactly what we did this morning with producer Fergus Sweeney. Mind you, it is very hard to get. Now, we spoke to Kevin O'Mahony, who's trade marketing manager at Barry & Fitzwilliams, and they import Blue Nun wine. And he says that Blue Nun was one of the first wines in Ireland. We kind of knew that, but it's good to know again. It goes through cycles of being popular in that its sales peak, and it goes some troughs as well, and in its peak in the 1980s it was selling 2 million cases of wine worldwide every year. About 35,000 of these 12 bottle cases would have been sold in Ireland, and the sales in Ireland has declined since then. They now sell about 6,000 12 bottle cases a year. through the traditional outlets nationwide, including Dunn Store, Centre and Super Value. But I tried to get Blue Nun. Now, they have a bottle in Kindies in Donnybrook, you'd be happy to know. On
one
the
bottle.
Just the one, which they were getting especially for today. And this is the first person in the door could have it, right, if they wanted four glasses. But at any rate, you found it difficult to get as well first.
Yeah, and I spoke to David this morning, but he spent all day yesterday looking for it and couldn't find it. So when I spoke to him on the phone last night, I said, don't worry, there's an O'Brien's right opposite me in Carrick Mines. I'll get it there this morning. Mind you, I went out there before 10 o'clock, not knowing that you can't buy wine and spirits
till,
well, half 10.
Half 10.
Okay. But then in the meantime, I went down to Dunn's and spoke to the guy down there, and he said, we don't have it at the moment because there's no demand for it. So I was getting, went back to O'Brien's then in Carrick Mines when they opened at half 10, and he said they do have it, but they didn't have any left in stock, and sent me to another O'Brien's in Sandyford. So I eventually got it there.
You got it, yeah.
I got it. And then headed
down. How many
down.
Bottles did they have in there, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I only bought one. He did offer me, do you want more than one? I said, no, thank you.
Anyway, it's not cheap wine.
No, $9.49 though.
$9.49 for
but
a bottle of wine.
I was embarrassed in asking for it.
Why were you embarrassed?
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
I just, yeah, no, I just felt it's not, it's not
the
fashionable
the
wine. And he might have thought, what does this guy want a bottle of Blue Nun of all wines at 10:30 in the morning for? So I was slightly embarrassed.
Ah, don't be, well, only be embarrassed because you're drinking so early in the morning. But there's nothing wrong with the product. And in fact, they've changed the bottle. It's a slimmer bottle, and it's got a kind of diamond logo now, badge on the front with Blue Nun. And it's been gone for decades and will continue to go. Anyway, how did you get on with the blind testing?
Yeah,
tell us what you did.
Went down to Enniskerry, met David. And firstly, there was two parts to this. We were meeting the public as well, and we were giving them two wines to taste, and they didn't know which was which. The first wine they were going to taste was Blue Nun, and the second one was a Pinot Grigio. But firstly, David himself was going to taste it for the first time in nearly a quarter of a century.
Ooh. I have the bottle here in my hand, and I'm going to pour myself a little reminder sample and to see how it's evolved and what my initial impressions are. So it's got a lovely, lovely fruity nose, very welcoming nose that says, you know, come in, drink me. It's bright, ripe fruit on the nose. Definitely a little bit of Riesling on the nose as well.
It's gone down.
It's gone down very, very happily. Very delicious. Lots of lovely, lovely ripe fruit flavours. A little bit on the sweet side for me, but certainly a really delicious, well-made wine. It's a style of wine, well-chilled, I think a lot of people will actually quite enjoy.
And has the long break in tasting it put it into your mind that that's something to avoid?
No, absolutely. It's actually brought back to my own memory back now that it's a style of wine that I would definitely recommend to people who are embarking on their wine enjoyment career.
OK, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to do some blind tastings with members of the public, and one of the wines will be the Blue Nun. What's the other one?
Exactly. Well, the other one is actually a Pinot Grigio that I got from one of the local symbol groups here. So it'll be quite interesting to see what the initial reactions are.
OK, well, let's try this first woman that's just coming down the road here.
Perfect. Hello, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Santina.
Great. Santina, we have two wines here and we'd like to get your honest opinion on them. And all you have to say is which one you like. OK, so let me pour you the first wine and see what you think. So here we go. There we are.
It's fruity.
Fruity?
Fruity. I do like it.
You do like it. Okay, wine number two. Do you like that one as much or do you prefer the first one?
That's not as fruity. It's a little drier and I think I prefer the first one, although I would generally not go for a fruity white wine, but I think I prefer the first one.
The first wine is a wine, a real blast from the past, and you're going to be amazed when I reveal it to you. It's no other than the famous Blue Nun.
That's incredible.
So what's your impressions now that you know what it actually is?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I mean, obviously that is not something I pick up in the supermarket and say I can't wait to get stuck into that later, but actually it was pleasant.
And your name is?
Eugene Amara.
Great, Eugene. Let me try you on our first wine, see what you think.
Fantastic.
So wine number one. Do you like it?
It's nice, maybe a little sweet for me.
Right.
A little sweet, but very mellow.
Right.
Easy on the palate. Nice little aftertaste. It's been a little sweet for me, but I would like that.
Right.
I think after a while, maybe I'd get a little sweetness.
It might grow on you.
Yeah.
And then let me try it on the second wine.
Okay.
And see which one you prefer.
No, that's particularly nice. That would be my favourite.
That would be your favourite of the two.
Mild wine, beautiful. Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, the second wine was actually a Pinot Grigio. And let me reveal the first wine to you.
Oh, the Blue Nun.
Blue Nun.
We had a good room and Blue Nun was brought out on weddings, funerals and other occasions. Yeah, it would have been the original, the old traditional wine.
And your name is?
My name is Margaret Joyce.
Great, Margaret. Let me pour you a little bit of the first wine and see what you think.
Oh, lovely to have a little sup of something this early on a Monday morning. Very nice. quite sweet. A little bit of fizz in it. Lovely.
Nice and fruity. A little bit of residual lovely. CO2. And let me pour you the second wine. And all we're interested is to which one you actually prefer.
Okay. All right. Straight away, I would say the first one.
You prefer the first
one. Yeah.
Shall I reveal the first wine to you?
Do
the second wine is actually a Pinot Grigio.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, and the first wine is no other than a real blast from the past.
Flippin' Blue Nun. My
Nun.
God.
Absolutely.
I can remember drinking pints of that in Galway years ago. That's great.
Great.
Absolutely beautiful. I am
pleasantly
surprised. And that is a total shock for me.
Right.
Thank you for making my Monday morning. I feel absolutely wonderful.
Great.
So there you are. You see.
Most people loved it.
People like it, so. How many people did you stop altogether?
We stopped four altogether.
Okay, four. Yeah, you had a busy morning, Fergus.
Well, no, actually.
You only need the one bottle.
Yeah, and Enniscarry is quite quiet first thing on a Monday morning. Second thing on a Monday morning. This is 11 o'clock.
Yeah, okay, so go on. So
I reckon that Eugene there was the only person who preferred the Pinot Grigio.
But he still
liked it.
That's interesting.
So they all liked it.
So it is snobbery.
Yeah.
And you can tell by the reaction of people, not that they are snobs, but it is snobbery.
That they don't like Blue Nun.
It was kind of the image, isn't that it? Isn't that what it is? Seems
probably
to be.
Primarily the image. But then if people, you know, when I was bringing that bottle now down, I brought it back from Enniscarry in the car and I brought it downstairs now. And I was trying, I haven't tasted Blue Nun in a long time. But even as I was carrying it down, I could smell the fruitiness. And I had it well
corked. I thought you were going to say you were hiding it under your jacket.
No, I wouldn't be hiding it. I'm
offering
it to everybody.
Your colleagues.
So there you go. Blast from the past. Well, I was talking to Pat and Kylie yesterday. He was telling me about all the old drinking habits that had changed. And he said, you know, in the early days, the 70s, and we really knew nothing about wines. People come in looking for a bottle of wine. He said, this fella came in one time, not to Kylie's, but when he was working in another pub, and said he wanted a bottle of wine. And he said, I look after you. He said, I've got a nice bottle behind the counter now. It'd be £3. And your man said, great. But the girlfriend's a bit fussy. She said, okay. So he went to the back and he got the same bottle of wine and said, that's £6. Your man said, perfect.